A town in the Pacific Northwest is rocked forever. We go inside the mind of Marie and how one night has changed her life forever on this episode of the Unbelievable After Show. Let's go.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hi, guys.
How is everyone doing out there? Thank you so much for watching and streaming the show on YouTube. Or even listening on the iTunes or Spotify apps. This is the AfterBuzz After Show for Unbelievable, the Netflix original program where we talk about one of the most heinous crimes one person can ever be subjected to. My name is Hobo Boyce. Thank you so much for keeping me in your life and second screens. We're going to talk about everything and all aspects of episode one of Unbelievable. But before we do all that, I want to introduce our panel because you guys will be rocking with me all season long. On my far, far left, this guy is a friend of mine and a co-host with the other AfterBuzz shows who work on the Raw and NXT After Show, Jack Farmer. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man, and I am hooked on this show. This has pulled me in, and I cannot wait to see what happens next.
Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure. I saw you at the entrance seat. Like, you didn't even blink. Like,
no.
You had to make sure
I had to vising the eyes after we got done.
Got vising ready to go. Yeah. And to the right, this is someone who is a connoisseur of fine programming. Give it up for Alexis Brown, everybody.
Hello, everybody. Happy to be here. I'm also hooked. I can't believe they ended the first episode like that. I was like, I can't believe they're ending like this. Like, what do you mean? I want to know what's going to happen. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. Unbelievable takes an unflinching look about sexual assault and how it rocks a young lady who's just, you know, going to work, going to school, trying to make the best of her life and how one life changed forever. Just before we go into the whole details of what happened and what transpired today, just overall thoughts of today's program. Starting with you, Alexis. What was going through your mind just watching today's episode?
Yeah, I mean, I was already familiar with the story. I was fortunate enough to have read the script. So I already kind of knew it was going to happen, but even in knowing what was going to happen, I still felt a lot of shock, a lot of emotions. It definitely was a roller coaster of not really knowing how to feel or what to think, but regardless, it did not disappoint, and I really enjoyed it.
Wait, you read the script and didn't tell me?
I didn't tell them.
Shocked. Didn't know what was going on.
I just wanted to wait and see what y'all were
going to think. That would have been helpful.
She was watching us instead of watching the show.
Tried to see what was going
on. But it's so different seeing it, you know, versus reading it. Like, seeing the emotions and seeing how things play out, it's so different when you watch it. So.
Absolutely. Jack, thoughts?
Man, I was uncomfortable watching this show.
Yeah.
I mean, the visuals and the way it was directed and shot, which I think they were going for, really made me just feel uncomfortable the entire time and really kind of gave weight to everything that was happening.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. It seemed the main through line for this episode for me was Marie's testimony and how there was a lot of computations and permutations about what happened and how she was subjected to recounting every single aspect of what happened to her over and over again. Jack, I wanted your opinion on this one. I mean, I know you said it was uncomfortable, but the idea of having to repeat this particular crime over and over again, just thoughts about that.
I get where the police are coming from by having her repeat it over and over and over again, not just to see if there's inconsistencies, but as they mentioned, you find out new information sometimes, and sometimes new things are remembered, but the way that she was just bombarded with things over and over and over again, I know at first, I don't know about you guys, but the first few times you hear like, oh, she didn't mention certain things the second time, or she added certain things the third time. And so at first you're kind of doubting, but then you just see the way she's emotionally affected by this as she's doing it over and over and over again. Whether or not it's true, and obviously it's the first episode, we can project later, but you just feel for her. You just feel really bad for her having to go through this.
It's funny you mention that. This time last year, I did my civic duty. I served jury duty in the court of law, and while we were sitting there looking at the evidence, we had to watch actual police testimony. And it was pretty similar for this episode, I thought, having the cops basically ask the same questions over and over again, hour 3, 12, 15, 18, to make sure of any inconsistencies. You totally understand, but I can only imagine if it's literally the worst day of your life, the last thing you want to do is be asked about it over and over again. Lexus, thoughts?
You know, I think they don't think about the humanity of it all. Like, yes, maybe her story's changed. Yes, things maybe not add up. But she was just raped for crying out loud, or possibly raped for crying out loud. So excuse her if she doesn't remember certain things right away, or certain things aren't coming to her initially, because she just went through a trauma.
Yeah.
And I don't think people think about that when they want a story. And I mean, I'm sure, you know, with the justice system and with law and with the police, they want evidence, evidence, evidence. We have to prove this is what happened. But I don't think they take into account how the trauma can really affect how you think and what you remember. And even down to the questioning, it didn't seem like with their questions, they were actually asking questions to actually know what was going on, but more so shaping their questions in a way that's forcing her to say something that they already think. Mm-hmm. And that's going to make things different in itself.
Do you think there was a blind spot there because both the assigned detectives were men?
Yes, for sure.
How so?
Because, I mean, they can't... How can I put this? Yeah, I mean, there's no... I guess it doesn't even matter if they're men, but they haven't been in a situation like that to know how it can really affect your psyche. Mm-hmm. And they've even said, like, even with things like car accidents, you don't remember right off the bat what happened because you're still in shock. There are still things you have to recollect. And like he said, by just talking about it, you can think, oh, maybe I did think this happened, but after talking about it, maybe his shirt was red or maybe these things did happen. So it doesn't even really necessarily have to be a man thing, mm-hmm. but just... they need to be able to put themselves in the situation of the girl and think, okay, maybe there's a reason why she can't remember or put two and two together.
Absolutely.
Do you think the fact that they were so cold and calculated with their questions was to intentionally try to remove the emotion from it? Because if they were kind of preempting with a lot of sympathy or anger or any other type of emotion, that might trigger her to remember things differently or change the way she remembers.
I think it's a good point. I mean, a good thing issue to raise. Again, I'm going by my experience watching actual police work for that jury duty trial. I really think they are trained that way to ask questions as objectively as possible. I know it's kind of like interesting that you want to have bedside manner at all, but you really want to ask things as matter-of-factly as possible. At least what I saw. Mm-hmm. If they tried to appeal to things, you didn't want to lead anybody in a certain path or whatever.
But that's not what I felt like they did. I mean, maybe in the very beginning, but definitely after talking to her foster mom, it was literally just trying to get what they already thought. And it's like, if you're just trying to shape what you think, are you really digging into the case? Or are you just doing what you think is what you think happened? Sure. And neither one is fair, honestly.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're a victim of a sexual assault or any kind of crime like that, there is like the actual act and then everything follow up. Now, mm-hmm. I know I've watched SVU and CSI where they have certain cases like this. Those are on broadcast television. But I think this is the first time I ever saw a rape kit and rape testing as thorough mm-hmm. as it was before. Alexis, take me through this. I mean, this is my first time seeing it. How much that must feel for a woman to be basically put on display while they try to run these tests? You know?
Yeah, it was the same thing for me, the same thought. I had never seen a rape kit be done. I never really even thought about what was involved in a rape kit, and watching it kind of infuriated me. It's like, why would I want somebody just digging all around in those parts after, not to be yeah. funny, after yeah. what I just dealt with? I think that would bring its own trauma in itself with right. another stranger just being able to not take advantage, but just do whatever she can with me. And I know they're doing it for the sake of, you know, helping me, I guess, to find justice and to figure out what happened. But I just felt, and then I was thinking maybe she needs some more time to like calm down first, but you can't even give time with a rape kit. It has right. to be done right then and there. So it just sucks that the only way to get the answers for a woman is to continue to, you know, that violate her like that. It sucks.
Jack, on a visceral level, how would you feel just watching that? I mean, on screen, her going through those gamut of tests.
Yeah, I just felt terrible for her. You see all these things, as mentioned, you want to be in that situation, you want to be able to comfort her and make her feel mm-hmm. better. But unfortunately, that's just, if you want to find out what happened, that's just not what gets to happen at that point, which mm-hmm. you feel terrible about. As mentioned, you don't have time to give someone. And so I felt really bad that she had to go through all these different things and all these different tests. But unfortunately, that's just what you have to do if you want to find out who did this.
Yeah, and that was my thought too. It's like everybody just felt so cold. Like it didn't seem like anybody really cared or had sympathy. And I guess it's just because they go through that every day. Like that's their job. They maybe have just become numb to it. But I would just feel like if I were in that position, I would just want somebody to kind of be more comforting towards me, especially for somebody like Marie, the character, because she doesn't really have anybody.
Yeah.
It did feel like the doctors could have been a lot nicer. Yeah. I understand the police officers who are asking questions, trying to get mm-hmm. information, but from the doctor's perspective, they could have had a little bit better bedside manner mm-hmm. in that case and been a little more gentle with how they handled things. I remember when the one doctor gave her the medication and the day after pill, she was just kind of like, here you go. Good luck.
Yeah. Next. If you feel like you're going to kill yourself, here's this number. Like, what? Like,
right. Well, that's my question. Maybe we're jumping into predictions here, but it does seem like everyone was almost overly pregnant being cold. Is this more of a perspective thing? Are we seeing things through the mind of Marie, or is this more of an objective portrayal of these doctors and medical professionals?
That's a good question.
I think it's more of an objective kind of view, because to them, unfortunately, they see crazy things all the time. Mm-hmm. And they've also, what they don't show in this episode or this show is that's not the only person they're taking care of. Mm-hmm. They're handing over that medication, then running off to the next place and handling that, and then handling this. And so they don't have time, probably.
Right.
Maybe we should take it a little easier on them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's more of just an objective thing. Obviously, I think the show is trying to create sympathy for the Marie character as well.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Alexis, I know during this course of this episode, there's just flashes of the actual perception of the actual sexual assault. Let me know what you think when you saw that, and maybe I know that it probably will change over time, but actually interspersing those flashes of moments of the actual crime.
What I was thinking when I was watching it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a rape. I was thinking it was sad and that it sucks that it had to happen to her and, you know, wasn't anything that she could do about it. It kind of made me feel helpless for her because she couldn't do anything.
So I'm probably jumping in as well. You know, they were talking about the different perceptions of her testimony. Do you think that is going to change, or are we getting the drops of what actually happened, or is it going to evolve as the season goes on? Just an idea. What do you think?
Of what she thinks happened, her testimony?
Correct, yeah.
Do I think it's going to change?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's already changed so many times. It's changed like 3 or 4 times just in this episode. But, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen to her at the end of the episode. We don't know if she's going to jump and we're not going to be able to get any more testimonies from
right,
her.
Right.
So at this point, I don't even know if that's the case. But I think going back to what I said previously, you know, she's been through trauma and this is something serious like a rape. And I think they just need to realize that you remember things as you go. There are things that I remember from things I've dealt with in my past now that looking back, I'm like, I didn't even realize what that was or what this could have meant or what really happened. So I think that could play into it too.
Sure. A lot of imagery here, a lot of her testimony has changed. And I know towards the end, it was implied that she had maybe made up the rape, which is something that would be catastrophic for anyone to even say, whether or not it's true or not, but to say, maybe I was lying for whatever reason. Jack, just tell me how you felt when she said, hey, look, maybe there isn't a rapist running around. Maybe I'm just making it up.
So, yeah, going back to the imagery thing and to touch on that, it was very uncomfortable and very difficult to watch the rape scene. But it was good directing, I thought, how they had her changing her testimony and having them create doubt in our minds, but then re-showing that to make us go, okay, wait, maybe we shouldn't doubt her so quickly. Because without that, I think we all would have said, okay, she's a liar, forget about her. But with having that imagery re-presented, it sort of brings you back and go, no, we need to, as a viewer, I think, we need to be careful about this. We do need to make sure we cover all of our bases and look into that. And so, yeah, I thought the imagery was great. I forgot, what was the original question? I dove into my topic.
I was going into my thing. But the idea of her saying, hey, look, man, maybe it didn't happen. Like, would you watching it, even though there's a possibility it may not be true or may be true, just thoughts about how you felt about her character saying it wasn't true?
I felt terrible for her. Because, as mentioned in sort of the pre-show to all this, I think as a child, you're always told to tell your parents if something goes wrong and to tell adults and to tell the police. And then to do that after the worst possible thing could happen and have no one believe you and to belittle you for it and to kind of bully you into saying that it didn't happen has just got to be absolutely devastating to have both those things happen back to back.
Yeah.
Now, of course, this is all under the assumption that it happened. Mm-hmm. It's episode one. I'm assuming there's going to be a lot more information that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'm assuming that something happened. Otherwise, this would be a very short show. But but as a viewer just looking at this individual episode, it's really interesting. I wouldn't know.
Alexis, thoughts?
I think it's really sad, to your point, you know, they tell you, go to your parents, go to people you trust, talk to somebody. And she went to two of the people she trusts the most, Connor and that foster mom who she called initially. And they were the ones who kind of made it seem like she, well, more so the foster mom than Connor. He was just telling her what she had told him, but basically making her out to be a liar.
Yeah.
And but what I didn't like and what I didn't understand is how they can just take what one person says and just change their whole narrative about it being a lie, especially when they learned about her history. They know she's been in foster home and foster home. She's had really bad foster parents, really bad family issues. You don't know her foster mom to know she wasn't a crazy person who abused her and doesn't really care for her, and now you're taking her word for it, and in that you completely changed your whole way you were approaching the case. And so when they did change their approach, it really reminded me of When They See Us on Netflix, the limited series that's also based on true events, and how those cops, after they made up their own narrative in their head, really just dug into those boys to get the answer that they wanted, so much so that it wasn't even about what really happened. They just wanted to go home.
Sure.
They didn't want to have to continue to be interrogated. And I think that was the situation with her, which made me really stick to my guns of me believing her, was that they were just forcing her to say what they wanted her to think.
Mm-hmm.
So why not just say it if you don't want to have to deal with that anymore, you know?
It's a very interesting perspective.
Well,
sure.
And from the police's perspective, just to be fair, there was no other evidence that helped prove her side either. They said there was no evidence of break-in. Nothing was left behind except for the things that she already owned.
Mm-hmm.
And so there, and I believe the rape kit came back negative
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
So from the police's standpoint, there also wasn't anything to prove something happened, which again has got to be difficult on there. And now
right.
again, it's the first episode, so I assume
mm-hmm.
something happened, but from their standpoint, again, look at just this episode, you can see there is reason for doubt, especially
oh, yes.
when the testimony is changing consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Before we dive into the other characters here, Jackie, do us all a favor and tell the world how they can listen to this AfterBuzz show and AfterBuzz shows.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find us on iTunes, YouTube, Spotify, all good places where you find podcasts. And we want to thank you for making us the ESPN of AfterBuzz or After TV Talk. So go ahead, find us there, and if you could do us a huge, huge favor, click the like button, click the subscribe button, and leave a comment, leave a review, let us know how you're feeling about the show, and those are the things that help us to create more content for you guys, and we'd like to do that. So please go ahead and do that.
Yes.
For sure. We were introduced for a lot of secondary characters that haven't been quite fleshed out yet. They've been established in the background of the foster mom, Maria, Connor, a Ty even. He had a really, really small cameo, which just tells me something's going on with Ty. Just the idea of their testimony, their perspective of Marie, starting with you, Alexis, how do they help to really flesh out what we think Marie is about?
I think the way everybody just kind of turned on her may be a testament to why she is how she is, because it just doesn't seem like she has anyone. And even the few people that she did feel like she had, they kind of turned on her too. So I think, you know, we really just need to dive even more into her past, because it can really play into if she did lie, why she lied, why she would do that type of thing. Or if she didn't lie, how that could have contributed to her being in this position, or how it could have contributed to how she's handling this situation if it really did happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's. I think the director and who's created this world for us to view has done a really good job of showing that Marie's isolated. She doesn't really have anybody. Even her foster parents aren't really that supportive of
mm-hmm.
her. Judith basically throws her under the bus and is like,
right.
hey, I think this isn't true. Connie was trying to discipline her, and she kind of got walked all over.
Mm-hmm.
The friends around her weren't really there for her once they thought it might be a lie. She doesn't really have anyone there. The boss at her job is a jerk to her. So she doesn't have anyone there that's really there for her. And I think what we're supposed to take from this is that, yeah, she's isolated. She has nobody.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I totally got it storyline-wise and narrative-wise, but it was totally underhanded to have that little scene of, like, you know, Marie dancing on the table
mm-hmm.
to establish her promiscuity, which totally should be irrelevant to what actually happened.
Yeah.
Thoughts about that, Alexis, just watching that
I
scene?
I mean, it's just a testament to how it is in real life. Well, I guess this is supposed to be based on a real story, but just when, you know, people come out with accusations about rape, it's automatically, was she promiscuous? What did she have on? What did she say to the guy to make him think that it was okay to do that? And it's always irrelevant. relevant. Why does it matter who I slept with or what I'm wearing or what I have done in my past for what's happened to me right now?
Sure.
It never matters, and it never is justified in why something like that happened to you. So I'm not surprised at all that it was like that, because that's just how it is whenever somebody comes out about a rape to me.
Yeah, it does unfortunately always come up, and it's sad that it does, but I actually like that the show just addressed it right up front. Mm-hmm. It was a little over the top and actually seemed a little silly the way it was presented, but it did at least present that and give us that information, because I think if they didn't have that scene, everyone would be asking that question at home, unfortunately. And so this was their way of sort of presenting it. Yep, this is here. Now you can make your own decision.
Yeah.
That makes the perfect sense. But now we're doing a special segment for After Buzz. It is the top three. For this, we're going to talk about the top three Netflix dramas that we have seen collectively on the show. Alexis, I'll start off with you. What will be your number one? Or number three? Are we going 3-1 or 1-3?
Let's go 3-1.
3-1. Number three Netflix drama.
Number one was easiest because I already know what number one is. Okay. But I guess my number three would be the show You.
Okay.
About the boyfriend who, like, stalks the girl, and then he ends up, like, killing her best friend and her ex-boyfriend. And it was a very entertaining show, but it was also a testament to just being more careful in how you carry yourself. Don't just have your windows open all the time or your doors open all the time, which was what the case was in this show, just having her door unlocked.
Really?
And just,
that's kind of that simple?
Well, I mean, it made it easy for them to get in, right? They could just walk in. But on the show You, because he was just staring in her window, he's able to stalk her and figure out who she was and eventually manipulate her into dating him until eventually he killed her. Mm-hmm. So that was a crazy show, very entertaining, lots of twists and turns. Like, I think this show is going to be, and definitely a top three Netflix show for me.
Yeah, number two definitely for me was 13 Reasons Why. That was a cultural phenomenon. Mm-hmm. Especially the first season, came out of nowhere, opened up the whole world to what it means to be a teenager and how they flirt with their own mortality and suicide. In fact, that became almost like a little of a cottage content source for people coming out and talking about suicide and how it affected them and all the things involved. And to be honest with you, it's one of the things you recommend and say, hey, look, this is really what peak TV, peak content is, you know? And even though second season, third season that are coming out doesn't have the same quite cultural cash, 13 Reasons Why as a brand and as a show totally changed the game. And number one?
Number one is definitely When They See Us, as I mentioned before. Just a beautiful show, beautifully shot, amazing actors. The person who played Corey, I don't know why I'm blanking on his name right now, but he's Emmy nominated and hopefully he wins, because he completely demolished that role. Ava directed her butt off, and it was just a great way to address a story that we already knew or some people didn't know, especially right now in the Trump era and his, you know, what he did with the boys. So to kind of see that story told in the most beautiful way that it was, with the amazing talent that it had, it was just a beautiful show. And I couldn't help but think about that show while I watched this one.
I'm so glad you guys told me about that, because my Netflix algorithm is all cartoons. Star Trek. So I was always going to find new content for sure. Now it's time for our new segment. Alexis, can you tell us the world about something we can all learn and be entertained by?
Yes, so we got some news. So, although the show... Oh, there it goes. There's my music. All right, so, although the show has not come out yet, it comes out this Friday. There's been a lot of buzz, a lot of news about the show. All the reviews have been very, very positive, but Vox actually made it one of the top 15 shows to watch for the fall.
Damn.
So that's a testament to why you should be watching it, because it's a good show. And Vox and many other news outlets have confirmed that.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Yeah, Vox is pretty much legit. It isn't like someone in their basement talking about their blog. You know what I'm saying? Vox has been around for real.
Yeah.
Yeah, the trailer blew us away. We're talking about that in the pre-show, how we were just on board when we saw the trailer and what that meant for us in this limited series. Mm-hmm. So shout out to them.
Yeah.
Shout out to them at all. And now it's time for our special segment. Jack Farmer, tell us the world something you'd be entertained by.
Yes. This is a special segment called Who Caught Ya?
And
obviously, this is, Unbelievable is a pretty heavy show. So this is part of the show where we're going to try to lighten the mood and give some real life stories of how criminals have been caught in the past. And today I have a really fun story for you. You see, out in Thailand, they have a bunch of beautiful animals out there, and some of them you're allowed to interact with and some of them you are not. And the ones you're not, unfortunately, there's a lot of unscrupulous people
that's that works, yeah, that's
people
big
ones. Trying to trying to take advantage of this by hoarding them up and letting tourists take pictures with them. Right. Well, there was a couple of folks who were doing this, and someone came by, took a selfie, and posted it on to Instagram. Now, why is that special, you ask? Because this person was none other than Rihanna.
Riri!
So, Riri, she posted it. You can look it up. It's on her Instagram. And one of the police officers in Thailand happened to be following the superstar. So,
that's what police are doing. Who's watching the streets, Jack?
Right. So what happened is the police officer sees a picture of Rihanna with this Loris. These little squirrels with big Disney eyes.
That sounds fake.
You got to go look them up. They're the cutest thing you've ever seen in your life. A picture of her with one of these things. And so they saw this. They saw the location. They went and they caught these two. Yeah. I mean, it was like a 16-year-old kid and his buddy doing it. So it wasn't the biggest the biggest arrest in history. But this is a funny way that two people got caught breaking the law.
Sorry,
who caught
you?
That just sounds like the best like drama. NBC, Rihanna's a detective, just solving crimes globally. Shout out to the people on checking their Instagram. Make sure your Instagram is clean of all crimes involving animals, kids, anything, man. You won't get in trouble.
It's such a cute animal. Who wouldn't want to take a picture?
Yeah, if you don't know what a loris is, you got to go check it out.
And that's the thing that Madagascar was like, I'd like to move it. No, that's what they look like.
I thought that was like a lemur.
But it's a lemur. It kind of looks like.
You can tell this is a Disney creature. This has Disney written all over it. I think Walt Disney himself created this animal.
Yes.
And hid it in Thailand so no one would find it until it's time for a
unless
movie.
Unless you're Rihanna, you can get
super agent Rihanna fighting for the animal rights all globally. Shout out to Rihanna, man.
Yes.
Now she can get a picture of Carmen Sandiego.
You know I gotta be honest with you. When I was a kid, I had the biggest crush on Carmen Sandiego because she was so mysterious, man. She traveled the world, committing crimes, you know, she was dangerous.
Honest, you still have a crush on Carmen Sandiego.
I still do. That new one isn't real. That new one, I don't count the one, but the old school one from the 90s, yeah, man.
Carmen, if you're seeing this, reveal your location. Flobo wants to talk to you.
Please, man, I got the evidence, I got the warrant. All I need to divide is you, right? We're good to go.
Well, don't turn her in.
Who caught you?
You never play the game.
Flobo, this is a chance for love. Don't give up.
Conjugal visits.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Let's move it on. So this episode kind of ends in a bit of a cliffhanger. So we're now probably getting to a little bit of our predictions now. Jack Farmer, I'm going to start with you.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
How do you think this is going to turn out? We have Marie climbing over the bridge. Look like she's going to attempt to jump. Fade to black or cut to black. How do you think this is going to turn out in episode 2?
You know, it's so funny. When we were watching, she was climbing up on the edge of the bridge. I was thinking, there's no way she's going to jump. This is the first episode. But then I was thinking of the trailer. I don't know if we see much of her in the trailer, but it cut off. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I hope she doesn't jump. That'd be really sad.
I want to put your foot to the fire here. Do you think she jumps or no?
No. I think if she was going to jump, they would have shown it. But that's just playing how the show is presented side of things. I don't know. But for now, yeah, I would say she's gonna stick it out.
Okay, Alexis.
I think she's gonna jump.
Oh, what?
I think she's gonna kill herself, honestly. And I think the reason that the actress is gonna stay on the show is because we're gonna see flashbacks. And I think as a result of her killing herself, they're gonna go more into what happened. And I think there's gonna be more women that come out with the same story and cause the detectives to be like, okay, maybe we do have to look into this.
Yeah.
So I actually see it happening.
Yeah, I mean, I could put myself in the same situation.
Put your feet to the fire.
I don't want to do that. This fire is too hot. I think if I have to think about it, it will make more sense dramatically if she were to jump. Mm-hmm. Only because now if it's a cold case, it may be another direct detective team to actually take the mantle and say what was going on. Mm-hmm. Why would she do that? Because even though she said she was lying about it, we still don't know why. I mean, yeah, she said, hey, look, I was kind of railroaded and all that. But to me, it's very, very important to see, get into the psyche of the person who was the victim of a sexual assault to say, hey, look, there's no other way out but to end my life. There's other things there that we have yet to delve into. So I think it makes more sense if she did jump.
I agree with you.
Continuing with predictions, starting with you, Alexis. What do you think is going to happen now overall in the season? Do we think we find the person that was involved? Is there a person that's involved? Or was it Maria's head the entire time?
Honestly, It's just in me. I'm the only girl on this panel. And I feel like it's just in me to feel like I have to believe her. I know there's no evidence, but a lot of times there isn't evidence. And I just choose to feel like that doesn't mean that it couldn't have happened. So I think it did happen. And I think after she kills herself, they're going to dig more into it. And I think there's going to be more women who come out with similar stories and similar situations. And then they're going to kind of tie it all into the same thing. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
This would be the worst show ever if it wasn't true. Right. If she's like, we just turn out like, oh, she was lying.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they just kind of, never mind, and just close up shop and go home. Uh-huh. That would be the most anticlimactic ending ever.
Okay, this would be devil's advocate. What if, and I don't agree with this, but what if it wasn't a case of sexual assault for her, but her story opens up other
that
people to
happen.
Come forward to mm-hmm. get an eventual rapist? Would you be on board then, or it has to be of solving her specific crime?
I mean, I'd be on board with that. I think that would be better because that means she wasn't raped. That'd be a better
good point.
A sure. better a better scenario for everyone. I'd be okay with that, obviously, yeah. as far as a storytelling goes, just sure. to see the everything unravel a bit, to see the onion get peeled a little bit.
Right.
So I'd like to see that. I definitely think we're going to see a bigger story than just one person, though.
Yeah.
The only thing with me, and I know we're pressed for time, and I'm going to keep it really quick because it doesn't really, like, it matters, but it doesn't really matter. But I just kind of wish, just in life in general, that if people did lie about situations like this, that there'd be some type of repercussion. Because even in this episode, she said her testament was that she lied. They just sent her home. But think about if they would have found somebody or somebody that she said did it. They go to jail. Their lives are ruined because of a lie, but she gets to just go home. So I think, you know, I hope this will bring in discussion about we need to start putting the hammer down on people who do lie.
Yeah.
Because there are people out there who do, and there are people whose lives are ruined by people who did lie. Not to make this a race thing, but a lot of black men are targeted with things like this. So I just want to see people who have done this, things happen to them too, you
yeah.
know? So hopefully that sparks that with this.
Do you think that'd make it harder for people to come forward if they are victims, knowing that they could be punished?
No, because I think there has to be legit, solid proof. And I know it's always hard with things like this for there to be proof, but legit, solid proof that the person did lie. In this case, if she did lie and she actually wrote a testament saying, I made this up, she said that, so that would have been a perfect situation to be like, well, you made this up. You need to have some sort of repercussion for this.
Cool. I got one more question for you. It's kind of goofy. After watching this episode, if Detectives Parker and Pruitt came to you and get one of those like customer survey cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you are greatly satisfied with the police work, or are you greatly unsatisfied with the police work?
I think you know the answer to that.
I gotta ask to put you on record, Alexis. You know what I'm saying?
I'll give them a 2. I'm not going to give them just a
100?
Zero.
100?
5? 10?
2 out of 10. 2 out of 10.
Because, I mean, I would like to think they had good intentions. They just felt like they wanted to do the right thing, but the way they went about it was wrong.
Got it.
They just need to really work on that within the justice system.
Right. Last question?
Yeah, I thought they... Their shortcomings were really in the way they sort of bullied her at the end.
Yes.
Fair.
I think
Absolutely.
Leading up to that, they were doing okay. I think they were doing great. But then they definitely started bullying her at the end to
mm-hmm.
get her to admit that it wasn't real.
Yeah.
They probably could have been a bit better about that.
And even the way they sent her off, like with her about to kill herself at the end, I'm not surprised at all, because not only did they tell her that all these people had turned on her, they just shoved her out, made her feel like she was this horrible person, and then people are surprised that she's about to commit suicide. They literally pushed her to that point. And that's not the job of a police officer either.
Absolutely. And I know that Marie's journey is only the beginning, and we're going to get more and more about it, and I hope a lot of the truth comes to light. But we're already pressed for time. Before
mm-hmm.
we get out of here, Jack Farmer, where can the world find you online?
You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. Go ahead and hit me up on Twitter if you want to discuss this show even more. I love interacting with everybody. You can also find me at jackcfarmer.com.
And you guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at I Am Lexi Fierce.
Oh, dang, that's awesome. I'm Flobo Boys. You can follow me on Twitter at Flobo Boys, on Instagram at Flobito and Flobito.com. Live entertainment, SoCal based. Holla at your boy. Until next time, please buzz you later.
Hi, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.